For the rest of us, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Joel chapter 3. Prophet Joel chapter 3. We're going to read verses 4 through 16. I want to talk to you today about independence. Joel 3, 4 through 16. We'll be looking at several other scriptures as well. Be ready for that. Beginning to read in verse 4 of the third chapter of Joel. Now what have you against me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all you regions of Philistia? Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done. For you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to your temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, that you might send them far from their homeland. See, I am going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them, and I will return on your heads what you have done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, a nation far away. The Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weakling say, I am strong. Come quickly, all you nations from every side, and assemble there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will set to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that this morning you would move on our minds and move on our hearts, that they would be open and ready to receive what the Spirit is speaking to us today. Father, I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that you step forth and reveal yourself in this word. And that, Lord, you put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So Independence Day is the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. It's a day every year that we set aside to celebrate freedom. Independence is freedom from the influence, control, or determination of another or others. I'll repeat that. Independence is the freedom from the influence, control, or determination of another or others. As I was thinking about this week, and I was thinking about what has been happening in the world of late, and more specifically, what's been happening in our nation. Our freedoms are gradually being eroded, and it has really sped up in the last year. I was thinking about some of the things that have been said by leadership in this nation. I don't want to mention any names, but it's Joe Biden. carnivore, do I look like one? Now, understand, I read it twice to make sure I got it right. Freedom from influence and control is what independence is. As I think about what he has stood up there as he was mumbling and babbling, the things that he has said, one of the things that he said disturbs me greatly because I am a carnivore. As a part of the New Green Deal, which is a catastrophe, going to limit, supposedly, the amount of cattle or animals that can be grown. And he had the audacity to say, you only need one hamburger a month. Now, I want to tell you something right here, right now. We're going to get something straight between you and me. Joe Biden can take a hike. Because when I want a steak, I'm going to have a steak. God's word gives us the fat cattle. And it says that God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he's got all them cattle so that his people can enjoy it. So what I'm telling you is this. There are many things that would make me take up arms. But one of them is, you take my meat away from me. You just go ahead and try. I'll be loading my weapons. And there won't be a house cleaning in this nation. See, because that is senseless control and manipulation. That is influence that we don't need. Now, I know that even within this little church in Fulton, Illinois, that there are vegetarians, and I'm fine with that. I'm never going to try to force you to eat meat. Don't you ever try to take my meat away from me. Because we're going to tangle, and I'm more than likely going to win. I just got to do this. How many other carnivores we got in the house today? Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I got a lot of people in my ranks. See, that'll preach. Control and influence. This is what's happening in our nation, and this is why God has got to step in, and he's going to at the right time. See, I think it already would have been changed over, but we are a nation that is under judgment because of many of the decisions that have been made in this nation. So this all has to play out so that God humbles people and people come to repentance and turn back to him. I want that. I've been praying for revival, been believing for it. God had spoken to me years ago that there will be one last great revival, and I believe that's going to happen here soon in our lifetime. I think in some places in this country, it has already begun. From the things that I'm seeing and the things that I'm reading, it's already begun. Of all places, California, praise God. God's moving in California, and people are coming to Christ in droves. Oh, praise God, that's awesome. I've had to repent because for years I've been calling that the land of the fruits and nuts. Now they're getting saved. So what do I do with that? Lord, I'm sorry. They're your people too, right? It's all right if I get real, isn't it? That's good because I'm going to. See, we are called to be free. Our God has ordained that we be free. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. See, this is the problem that we've been dealing with in our nation for quite some time, and it just progressively gets worse. Because when a generation goes there, and a biblical generation is 40 years, if you will. If a generation turns from God and keeps walking away from God, then the next generation, if God doesn't break out on the next generation, then the next generation will be worse. Because it's human nature to progressively get worse when we turn away from God. And another generation, so on, until you end up in the situation where we are in, where if God didn't do something, the generation of children that are in school right now will only be 4% Christian in this nation. 4%. Now, if that doesn't shake you to the core of your foundation, something's wrong. Four of those people out of 100. So, but see, God is going to do something. He's already begun. He's going to do something. Praise God. But guess what? He's got to have people that are ready for the influx of new believers, because we got to disciple them. We are supposed to be training up disciples. We got to go out there into the highways and byways and get them into the church so that they can be trained. Well, Pastor Wayne, can't they go on the internet? Yeah, they could. But if you want to see, I see a whole lot of screwed up people that call themselves Christians that have been trained by the internet. Yeah. People need a shepherd. People need balance. People need somebody to be responsible to. Everybody needs accountability. Everybody. And so that's what's wrong with the Christian that says, I don't need church. I watch church every week on TV. I'm on the internet. I do Bible study with this group and that group on the internet. That is not like being involved in church. God thought up the local church. Because it's up to the church to train up disciples. Says, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. But that's what has happened. See, the church as a whole in this nation has welcomed every kind of sin into the church in the name of love and acceptance. And the pastors who have stood up and said, no, we're not going to have this in the church, are the pastors that are being trashed on the internet and everywhere. And the Word of God says something quite the opposite of that. If you are loved, you are disciplined. It's the church's responsibility not to accept into the church the sins of the world. The things that are being pushed on us. Remember the word influence. We're being influenced. Every time you turn on the television, what do you see? Commercials are loaded with it. The alternative family. Wrong answer. God said, one man, one woman, for a lifetime, and that settles it. That settles it. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Boy, we need this awakening. We need it in the church as bad as the people out there need it. because the church as a whole in this nation has not been healthy. Pastors say, well, I don't want to upset anybody because I know this family, this family, this family will leave and they give a lot of money. Well, my God's got the cattle on a thousand hills. And if we don't have enough money, I just pray and ask him for some, sell some. Just, would you, see, seriously, I don't know if I ever told you this, but that's what I did when we planted this church. We started this church with nothing. We didn't have a denomination to seed this church, bring in money. We started this church with nothing. I signed my name on the dotted line to pay, as a surety, to pay when we rented this building the first 12 months we were here. And I prayed and I said, Lord, you got the cattle on a thousand hills. Would you sell a few and bring the money in? Because we need money. You know, you've given us a vision, but we also need you to give us the provision. You know? Guess what? God started bringing it in. And when you're obedient to God, God will not allow there to be lack when you're walking in obedience. He won't. So people got it wrong. So we're called to be free, there's no doubt about it. We cannot continue to act independent from God.
Yes. Amen.
Can't do it. If we do, then judgment comes. And as I said, I believe it already has begun. Praise God.
Yes.
I want to see people turn from Satan and to Christ instead of from Christ to Satan. For years, I've seen way too many people that have started out well and turned and went off on Satan's path instead of following after God. I've seen it happen with a lot of people. It grieves me when I think about how many people over the years I've joined hands with and prayed, maybe at the altar, maybe wherever, at my business, wherever. How many of those people that gave their lives to Christ, but only to later, when it got too hard for them, walking this Christian walk, or decided they got bored, they just turned away from Christ and went back into the world. It grieves me. It grieves me. And I've seen people do that over and over. And you know what scares me about that? How many times is that going to happen before they finally hit the time where God says, no, you're a reprobate, I'm done. It says in the Word, he turned you over to a reprobate mind. See, I'm standing on solid footed theologically when I make that statement. You and I don't know where that point's at. Now, that being said, any time a person's heart is soft enough to repent, Christ is always ready to receive them. The problem is the heart keeps getting harder. It's a heart condition. And then the heart gets so hard that it can't turn back anymore. God says, you're a reprobate. Does that make sense to you? See, God is the judge. Our God is the judge. And what he judges righteously. Because as God, he is always right. That's what righteous is. Our God exudes righteousness. He exudes love. Righteousness means he is always right. So God is the judge. Let's look in Genesis 18, verses 24 and 25. Genesis 18, verses 24 and 25. Conversation taking place here. It says, what if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of the earth do what is right?
God's judgment.
God always leans toward grace. He does. God always leans toward grace. But there is always a point where he says, enough. Enough. Psalm 58, verse 11 says, then men will say, surely the righteous still are rewarded. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. That was Psalm 58, verse 11. Surely. Surely. Doesn't say maybe. Surely the righteous are still rewarded. There are too many people over the years that just decided that it was just too hard. It's just not worth it to try to live a righteous life and walk with God. And turn away. I don't get it. I don't know. I must have meant it more or something. Or maybe I was further into the bottom. I don't know. But I have never thought about giving up on God. Because I know that he's not giving up on me. And I've been through some hard stuff since I got saved. My family's been through some hard stuff since I got saved. But I never once thought about being mad at God. It just didn't enter my mind. There have been times I didn't understand. I said, Lord, I just don't understand, but I trust you. I don't understand what has brought this into our life, but I trust you because I know you're a righteous judge. Psalm 96, verse 13. Says, then men will say, surely the righteous... I'm sorry. Started reading the wrong verse. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth. He is the judge. They will sing before the Lord. Did you ever notice, no matter how bad of a day or a week or even a month that you've had, when you just humble yourself and let it go and just begin to sing before God, that you just automatically begin to feel the darkness dissipate that has felt like it's hanging over you? And the light starts coming through. Oh, man. Sometimes we just got to get alone and get with God and just sing a new song to him, or turn on the radio to some Jesus music and get in there and just worship God. You can do that driving down the road. You can do that anywhere. And man, it lifts you up. Instead of spending our time thinking about how we can get even with the dirty sucker that wronged us. How about it? John 5, 22 and 23. John 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, moreover, the Father judges no one. We got to read on. Check this out. But has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So actually, Jesus is the judge when we say God is judge. Jesus is the judge. And therefore, there is the judgment seat of Christ. Thank God that that's not a seat of whether determining whether we're saved or not. If we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, we are saved, and we are standing there because that is where the rewards are handed out for those things that were done in the body. That's what it says in the Word. That is what happens at the judgment seat of Christ. He set us free, and he hands out the rewards. Because he judges righteously. Well, we also got to talk about sin's harvest. See, life is a process of sowing seed, and reaping. Life consists of sowing and reaping, according to the Word of God. Okay, so when we sow sin, we reap from that. And many times, even after we've repented, we still reap from the consequences of that sin. A murderer that commits murder in a fit of rage. I'm not talking about a serial killer that is just full of the enemy that has decided they just want to kill anybody and everybody they can until they're caught. That's different. I'm talking about somebody that goes off on a fit of rage and kills someone, okay? And they immediately repent. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. They're still going to pay their debt to society. There are still going to be consequences for that sin. Am I making sense? And that's the way it is. There are consequences for everything we do in our lives. So sin's harvest. The first thing I want to look at in looking at sin's harvest is the disappointments that we reap from the sin in our lives. We reap disappointments. Okay? Isaiah 17, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 17, verses 10 and 11. Says, you have forgotten your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing in the day of disease and incurable pain. Disappointment. The passage is talking about disappointment. Reaping the consequences of sin. The next thing that can happen as a consequence of reaping from sin is no profit. Not prophet. Not God's prophets. Profit. As in more money. Abundance. No profit. Jeremiah 12, verse 13. Jeremiah 12, verse 13. Says they will sow wheat but reap thorns. They will wear themselves out but gain nothing. So bear the shame of your harvest because of the Lord's fierce anger. By the sweat of our brow, we'll eat the fruit of the earth. Right? That was a big part of the curse when Adam and Eve fell. No longer, remember, would the earth give forth, but only by the toil and the labor. Okay? That happened as a result of sin there in the garden and still happening today. If God takes his hand of blessing off of us, there will be no profit. See, he blesses his righteous people to be a blessing to others. We are blessed when we are blessed to be a blessing to others. That's why we're blessed. We also reap a judgment day. From Joel 3, verses 12 and 13, part of our text, just revisiting it, says, "Let the nations be roused, let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness." Judgment. This is talking about cutting down all the evildoers. Cutting them down. There is a day of reckoning coming. How many of you remember the words that God gave me? We talked about this. Yeah. One of them was reckoning. One of the three words God gave me for this year was reckoning. I'm waiting for the reckoning to come, because I'm going to level with you guys. I've had it up to here with the evil that seems to be reigning in our nation and in the world. I am absolutely, completely sick of it. And if I'm sick of it, how sick of it do you think God is? Because he's righteous, and I'm really not. I'm only righteous because of the covering of the blood of Christ. Without that, I'm not righteous. Right? And I gotta bring it to you. Neither are you. Sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now that's not hard to understand. That's broke down, makes it completely simple, doesn't it? God cannot be mocked. Too many times, people commit sin, and then it doesn't appear anything happens. And so they think, I got away with it. So I do it again. And do it again. And what was a first-time sin then becomes a habit. And those habitual sins are a snare. They're a snare to our soul. And the enemy uses that to tangle up God's people, to get them in the snare, to do all he can to drag them off to hell with himself. That's his whole purpose. Satan, his whole purpose is to snatch as many people as he can, God's people, and take them to hell with him. That's why he exists. We need to get wise to this. Believers need to get wise to this. Don't be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. God cannot be mocked. The next one is fullness of time. Fullness of fullness of time. Revelation 14, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 14, verses 14 and 15. It says, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Hallelujah, I don't think that's far away. I really don't. I think it's way sooner than we think. Things are happening right now way faster than I would have ever thought. Where we are at right now in the prophetic timeline blows my mind, because I never thought there was any way that we would be at this stage in my lifetime. I didn't think there was any way we'd be in the stage prophetically that we are in. I never thought that we would see the leaders in the world and a leader or leaders in this nation that could get so evil. I didn't think I would live long enough to see that. But things have progressed so rapidly. It absolutely blows my mind. Catholic Church has been haggling with whether to keep certain people from taking communion because of their position on things in their lives. And again, I don't want to use any names, but it might be Biden and Harris. Good for them, for if they take a stand and say, you can't take communion. But there's another side of looking at that, as one of our leaders here at the church pointed out to me. He said, no. You always tell people this. Be careful you don't eat and drink judgment unto yourself. Let them take it! Let them receive the judgment that they deserve! There's always another side of looking at things, isn't there? So why does judgment come? I talked about this a little bit in the beginning. I want to wrap up with this. In Joel 3:17, it says, then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. God is righteous and just and holy, guys. Bottom line is, judgment comes because then you will know. So in other words, it comes as a reminder. If you live this way, this is what you will reap. It comes as a reminder to get us to turn back fully to Christ. Guys, I made a statement a while back that I stand on, but I want to explain it a little further in the closing of this message. So we're talking about independence. I made a statement a couple of weeks ago that the Democratic Party has gone so far off the rails that you cannot be a true Christian and vote that way any longer. I made that statement. I stand by that statement, but I want you to understand something. The reason for that is the total rejection of biblical morality. It's, see, when I make that statement, it looks like a political statement, but it's not. It's a statement about the state of morality. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wanted to clear this up. It's about morality. It's about biblical morality. You can't endorse a person that stands for everything that is anti-God. You can't do it. You can't stand before a holy God and pray to a holy God when you endorse a person that curses God and curses God's people. You see, the regime is out to take every one of your freedoms. There have already been statements made. Here's one. By 2030, you will own nothing and you'll love it. That statement has been made. You will own nothing and you will love it. My friends, that's communism.
Yes.
That is not freedom. That is not independence. That is control and manipulation. Am I making sense this morning? I sure hope so, because I'm trying hard. People do not understand. We cannot continue to compartmentalize our lives. I've actually had this discussion with people one-on-one and said, how can you be a Christian and vote that way? Well, my political stance has nothing to do with what I do on Sunday. There's the problem. You're not a true believer. You just told me you're not a true believer. Because a true believer is the same person today as he is tomorrow. And also the same person in every decision they make, whether it be political or something else. A true believer cannot vote for that any longer. Can't do it. So it takes people examining their hearts. Because it's not about political, it's about biblical morality. That's what it comes down to. It's quiet when I talk about that stuff. See, I'd rather there's about 115 of you standing and shouting. Independence. Fight for it, stand for it, or lose it. Stand to it. Father, we ask your forgiveness for way too long. Many people in the body of Christ in this nation have been asleep. Lord, wake us up. Wake us up by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, as we celebrate today and again tomorrow, the freedoms that we have, make us mindful of how easily we can lose them. And make us strong that we will stand up and speak up and fight if we need to. Keeping our eyes on you, of course. But do what we have to do to maintain our freedom in this nation. Lord, help us to be willing to repent as a nation. And as we leave this place, direct our steps, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us would hear and have heard today what the Spirit is speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you. See you next time.